CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor. Stagflation. Fancy word. Fortunately, Veronique de Rugy of the Mercatus Center is here to explain it to me and also to say what needs to be done. I go to a news report in these last hours. The chair of Gramercy Fund Management, Mohamed Alarian. The U.S. economy won't be able to avoid a bout of stagflation, and markets have yet to tune into the risk of significant slowdown in growth, said Mohamed Alarian. Mohamed Alarian blamed the situation on the Federal Reserve and the Federal Reserve's view from 2021 that inflation would at some point fade. He says later, a lot of people say it needs luck and skill at the Fed. It needs a lot of luck at this point. Veronique, I come to you because Mohamed Alarian is making sense of where we are right now. You and I have talked about this for a year. I'm sure Mohamed Alarian talked about it for a year when the Fed kept saying transitory. So we need a definition. Why is the word stagflation now the scary word? No longer recession. That's not enough. The talk of recession is routine. What is stagflation and what can we expect if that's where we're headed? Good evening to you.
Good evening, John. Stagflation is effectively the simplest way of describing it. It's high inflation while at the same time having higher unemployment. That's what it is. If you remember, in the 70s, there was this theory, the Phillips curves, that there was an inverse relationship between inflation and unemployment. And basically, there was this, and it's what we found, what we discovered, basically that if you let, at the time, the theory was if you let inflation runs hot, then that helps unemployment go down. What we've learned in the 70s is that that relationship is more like a really short term. There's no fundamental link between the two. So we've dropped the Phillips curves. That said, with the new target that the Fed adopted 2 years ago, somehow it resurfaced, this idea that you could let the economy run hot and address your unemployment issue during the recession. And what you really have is, if you have inflation, there's a moment where unemployment goes up too. And that's what we have. And I will say that what stagflation is, in my opinion, is not just evidence that the Fed and Congress created that inflation together. You know, the Fed printed money, the Congress used that money to spend it around and to give to people and to boost aggregate demand. But it's also that the Federal Reserve let inflation run hot, maintained their COVID policies long after the economy had recovered. And so that's why we have stagflation. And the blame really lays at the feet of the Fed first, but also at the irresponsible Congress and administrations.
The Treasury Secretary, Janet Yellen, was in Europe and in these last hours had this to say. Certainly, the economic outlook globally is challenging and uncertain. Ms. Yellen went on to say, higher food and energy prices are having stagflationary effects, namely depressing output and spending and raising inflation all around the world. This is the Treasury Secretary. This is not the Federal Reserve. Is there anything that the Treasury can do?
No. I mean, except for scaling back spending. That's what they should do. But obviously, Yellen is not going to do this. She has been encouraging Congress to spend and spend and spend and spend. So, no, that's you know. And what bothers me a little bit about what Yellen is saying is, like, she's kind of like trying to make the case that effectively the inflation that we have is mostly a product of the war in Ukraine, food, high prices on food and energy, and the energy.
Yes, Putin's price hike. They keep saying.
Yeah, and the truth of the matter is that when you actually look at core inflation, it's not a perfect measure of the kind of looking at inflation without the supply shock that we're going through. But it is kind of an indication. It's still extremely high. And when you actually do the same for Europe, actually, you see that most of what we call their inflation problem is a supply shock problem. Ours is a Fed-created, Congress-created phenomenon.
The central bankers of Europe are equally worried about inflation and stagflation, and there's talk there of stop buying bonds, of tightening in the near future. I think the ECB, but all central banks are talking this way. Do the central bankers have the tools, or is it that we have to run through this? We've got to live through it. That's the only thing that will solve it.
I mean, they have the tool. Like, they can like, you know, raise interest rates above inflation rates. I mean, that's the way Volcker did it. It would create a big recession, but it would probably take care of inflation as long as Congress reins in spending too. And that's some fiscal consolidation. I don't think they're going to want to do this. I mean, the Fed has not talked. I think the Fed is going to continue course. Maybe they're going to be a bit more hawkish. They're going to step up the hawkish talks, maybe be a bit more aggressive on rates. But at the end of the day, I don't see a willingness to take very drastic measure. And because there's no good solution. There's no soft landing, this thing. I mean, it's not. There's no soft landing. I've told that to you. Like, I mean, for months we've been saying, I don't buy the soft landing thing because the way they were talking about this, they were not taking this seriously. And they were, well, they kept kind of insisting that it was mostly supply. And so that if it was really truly mostly supply, there's really nothing the Fed can do. It's true, there's nothing the Fed can do to the increase in prices that's due to the war in Ukraine. What the president can do is lift tariffs, increase the supply of energy, however he can. There's just a lot of things that can be done to increase supply of stuff and ease the pressure on prices. But the truth of the matter is, like, supply shock, there's nothing the Fed can do.
Monetary policymakers, this is Europe reporting, Financial Times, and markets are trying to assess where lies the Goldilocks or neutral level of rates, the optimal level where an economy is neither overheating nor being held back. That's the same as a soft landing, right? They're looking for Goldilocks. We're looking for a soft landing.
Yes, they're all looking for this. The other thing we haven't talked about is quantitative easing, right? I mean, there's another problem that the Fed has, by the way, that we're mostly not talking about, is that the Fed, right, owns close to $3 trillion on mortgage-backed securities.
Right.
Right? I mean, if the average rate of these are 3%, and if the rates go up to 6%, it means that the Fed will have a market value loss on its book of roughly $1 trillion. And so what that means fundamentally is in terms of the Fed outlook is, I mean, that I don't know. It's kind of, I'm not exactly sure, but it's not good. I mean, it kind of has the, it reminds us a little bit of the saving and loans crisis of the 80s, right? And because it was that, just a different institution. So that's a whole other problem.
Goldilocks, soft landing, sweet spot, all these metaphors for trouble. This is Veronique Durigier of the Mercatus Center. I'm John Batchelor.
You're listening to CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.